Let us begin a new topic. A new topic, very exciting. Tochacha took us about 5 months. We took a little bit of a break for the Chagim, and now we're back at it. We are back in the grind, and we have a topic which is hopefully a little more positive, right? A little more tangible, something which people can sort of, you know what to do as opposed to know what not to do, or as opposed to telling others what not to do. And it's something that either as the recipient of or the provider of, we can all sort of relate to in one way or another, because everyone has parents. And even if your parents are no longer alive, as we'll learn at some point in the future, there are mitzvos, there are activities of kibud av v'em that continue all the way until you pass away. The way that you relate to your parents, the way you refer to your parents, the way that you treat your parents or their grave sites, things like that. So we'll learn a lot about that as we go along. But as we always do, and always, this is our fourth topic, right? We started with Hashavas Aveda, then we went to Sefiras HaOmer for a few weeks, and then we did Tochacha. So now this is our fourth topic, and as we always do, we start with the Chumash. We start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. Is it sound of music? I think it's sound of music. Either way. Okay. Who knows? Trivia question. Now that I have this computer, maybe it'll be a little easier to do some back and forth. What is the first time? The first time we find Kibud Av V'Em in the Torah. First time we find Kibud Av V'Em in the Torah. It's somewhat of a trick question. Avraham and Yitzchak. Where do we find Kibud Av V'Em by Avraham and Yitzchak? Okay, that's true. He goes along with his father to the Akedah. That's true. That's a good point. Is there anything more explicit in the Torah of a son doing something for a father? Or a parent?
Oh.
I don't necessarily...
One of Leah's sons.
Okay, good. You have the story of the Dudaim, right? Of Reuven. What about Noach? Does Shem, Ham, and Yafas have any interesting Kibud Av V'Em? Good. The story later on this week's Parsha, where they covered him up in order to not reveal his nakedness, whatever that means. And obviously there's a lot to talk about in that story, what exactly the Medrash Hall tries to interpret what it means. We're not going to go into specifics, but just to point out, this week, the first time of Kibud Av V'Em in the Torah. Presumably, I'm not sure if it's true or not, especially with when you want to throw Midrashim in. I'm sure there are some of those generations that we talked about in Bereishis have to have some Kibud Av V'Em involved. We have the story of, Lemech and his children and things like that. So I don't know, there might be some stuff there. Either way, when is the first time that we have a tzivoy? When do we have an obligation of Kibud Av V'Em? When's the first time Hashem tells us to respect our parents?
That Avraham, when he has to leave his father?
Avraham has to leave his father. Okay, that's the opposite. That's leaving your father. But I hear what you're saying, that's also a tzivoy in some ways related to Kibud Av V'Em. And I think, by the way, also at the end of this week's parsha, there's something about Kibud Av V'Em by Avraham going back to Sinach or something. I forgot. There's something chronologically at the end of this week's parsha, but also I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a real mitzvah. When do we get the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em? Anyone know where's the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em? No. Anyone know Shlach Rock? People are familiar with Shlach Rock, right? So my father like grew up with Lenny Solomon, and we're like close friends, whatever. But my problem with Shlach Rock is that I don't know any of the secular songs that they're based on. So anytime like I sing it, everyone thinks I'm singing the secular song, but I have no idea what the songs are. I remember one time I was in a rest stop, like on a road trip or something. In a bathroom, I heard like a Shlach Rock song. Like, how do they know this song? And it was like the secular song, like I'd never heard before. Either way, so they have a song, and maybe this will help you remember. I don't know if people know the song. Honor, 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 on your parents. It's number 5 of the 10 commandments. Good. I don't know what song it is. I probably didn't sing it properly either way. But the first time we find the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av Ve'Em is in the 10 commandments. So when do we have the 10 commandments? Everybody knows that. That's in Parshas Yisro. I don't even have to ask that. That's in the 20th chapter of Exodus. Shmos Perek Chaf. So you'll notice that you have, you'll notice how you have different lengths for different, dibros, right? So Anochi Hashem Elokecha is pretty short. Then Lo Yiyeh Lecha is sort of a combination of a bunch of different descriptions. And then you have Lo Siyisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha Lashav, right? Don't take Hashem's name in vain. And then you have Shabbos, which is a few psukim long. And then you have number 5, Perek Chaf, Pasuk Yud Beis. Here it is, Kabed Es Avicha V'Yasimecha, Leman Yarichun Yamecha, Al Hadama Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein Lach. Somebody, explicate this pasuk for me. Show me what is unique about this pasuk that we're going to have to, in the future, we're going to have to dig into. What is it about this mitzvah? What is it about this pasuk that maybe jumps out at you and says, this is peculiar, this isn't normal, or this is not typical of the pasuk to do such a thing? What types of things do you find in this pasuk? Anyone, any suggestions just by looking at it right off the bat? Okay, that's an interesting one. How often do you ever find a reward included within the bracha, within the mitzvah, sorry? Right? Usually when you have a mitzvah, so Hashem says it's a mitzvah. Why do you do the mitzvah? As every parent says, because I said so. Right? You do it because Hashem said so. Why do we need Hashem to tell us, L'man yarichun yamecha, that the reason you want to do good for your parents is so that you have a long life? So there is, first of all, a pragmatic answer, which is not as fulfilling when you speak about, you know, the depth of mitzvot and things like that. But what could you say? You could say, clearly, kabed esavich v'esimecha, honor your parents, take care of your parents, and thereby your kids will take care of you. And that l'man yarichun yamecha, right? You take care of your parents when they get older, and then your children will see that. Your children will learn what it means to take care of your parents after they took care of you, and so too your children will take care of you. And then naturally, l'man yarichun yamecha, you'll just live longer because your children will be taking care of you. That's sort of like a simplistic way to look at it. But as we'll see, Chazal have more, you know, more depth to the phrase than that. What's maybe another? What's another peculiarity of this pasuk? Anyone know? Anyone? Oh, okay. So now you're talking about context already. Very good, Marsha. Where is the pasuk situated in reference to the rest of the dibros? As we just said, it's number 5. And as some like to point out, the first 5 of the Aseret Dibros are kibud, our mitzvah bein adam lamakom, right? Idol worship and Shabbos, believing in Hashem, not taking His name in vain, right? And then you have respecting your parents. How does that fall within the typical categorization of the first 5 being bein adam lamakom? We'll have to see that also. That might be our first class about trying to understand how do we categorize this mitzvah, or second class, whatever. So there's a lot to talk about there, a lot of mefarshim to talk about. That could take us a few classes, to be honest, depending how much we want to focus on it. But what else? What else do we have in this pasuk?
Also, it involves specific other people. The other ones are more like after the start; they're more general, not to do this, not to do that. But it's not specifically regarding the particular other people.
That's another interesting point. If you look at the next psukim, although the last one a little bit talks about a specific person, right? But if you look at the Bein Adam Lachavero mitzvot right afterwards, so you have don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't kidnap, and don't swear falsely. Those have to do with our activities. They're generally activities done to other people, but they don't establish. The mitzvah isn't specific to any one person or to any one relationship. right? I guess lotinoff could be relationship with your wife. It doesn't say that. And it's only the last one where you actually do have some more specificity, right? The wife of your friend. Again, it doesn't say exactly which friend it is, but that is a little more specificity. But nothing is as specific, as Bach is pointing out, nothing is as specific as kabed es avicha. Not only do you have a mitzvah, which is ben adam lachaver, or maybe ben adam lachaver here, but it's ben adam to a specific person. It's specifically to your father, to your mother. You have that mitzvah. Nobody else has that mitzvah, except for maybe siblings. So there's an interesting level of specificity here that's not included in the next kibud, in the next mitzvah's ben adam lachaver, which may be, you know, might be tied into something that Marsha was pointing out, which is that why is this a typical ben adam lachaver mitzvah? Or maybe it's something else. Interesting to think about. What else about this pasuk? Anything else unique about this pasuk? Let me ask you, where do we do mitzvos? Where do we do the mitzvos? We do the mitzvos everywhere, right? Right? It's like, where is Hashem? Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. Right? Where do you do the mitzvos? You do the mitzvos here, you do the mitzvos there, you do the mitzvos truly everywhere. And yet, if you look at this pasuk, Kabeides avich aviasi mecha lamani arichun yamecha al ha'adama asher Hashem lakach nosein lach. Now, this could either mean that you're going to have long days on the land, or it could mean that the Kibud Avim is on the land. Either way, why does the pasuk tell us anything about the land? Just say, Kabeides avich aviasi mecha lamani arichun yamecha. If there's some reason, as we said before, if there's some reason for why there would be a lengthening of days when you are honoring your parents, so then just say that. What's the deal with being on the land? Is there something about this mitzvah which is tied to Eretz Yisrael? Is there something about Kibud Av V'Em which is exclusive to Israel? Why does the Pasuk specifically talk about the place of the land? The truth is, I'm gonna have to investigate that, because I don't actually remember, but it's also another interesting peculiarity. What's another way? And this is where we have to start thinking a little more analytically for this one. What's another way that the pasuk could have said, "Honor your parents"? What's another way we could have expressed that concept? Or those words, what words could we have used? Right? How do you say parents in Hebrew?
Horim.
Why does it specify kabet es avicha v'es imecha? What is it about father and mother that has to be specified as opposed to just saying honor your parents? Is there a qualitative difference in father versus mother? Is there a chronological difference? Right? So I'll pose this question, and this is more of a question really to get you thinking about the mitzvah, not to get you to answer the question. Let's say you are asked by your father and your mother both at the same exact time to get them a drink of water. So who do you give the water to first? Now, this the Gemara asks this question and discusses this question, but think about that question for a second. Is there a qualitative difference between the father and the mother? And if there's not, so then why does the pasuk specify the words? Kabeid es avicha v'es imecha. Maybe you would only honor your father. No, es imecha also. You have to honor your mother also. But now let's add a wrinkle to this. Let's add an interesting wrinkle, which is another time the Torah feels the need to tell us a very similar mitzvah, which we'll have to talk about, but in a different way. And for that, let's look at, I think it's Parshas Kedoshim. If you go to Vayikra Perek Yud Tes 19, Leviticus 19, I'm getting a little background noise, I'm not sure what it is. It sounds like a newscast of some kind. 19:3, beginning of Pasuk Yud Tes. Achremos, not Kedoshim, okay. Wait, is it? No, I was right, Kedoshim. at the beginning of Kedoshim. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemor. If anyone has an art scroll, Chumash on 656, right? Speak. Hashem spoke to Moshe to say, "Daber el bnei el kol adas bnei Yisrael v'yamar talihem." A lot of interesting words here, introductory words. But speak to all Jewish people and say to them, "You are holy, kadoshim to you, ki kadosh, because holy ani Hashem alkechem, because holy I am your God." Kind of an interesting pasuk in itself, but that's not what we're here for. We're here for the next pasuk, right? As we go from, we transition from talking about kedusha, we talk about holiness, and then we talk about what? Ish imo v'aviv tira'u. V'yashab sosai tishmeru ani Hashem alkechem. A man, his mother, and his father, he should fear. There is an interesting phrase, right? I hope, I should have told you to keep your hand on the place back in Yisro. I didn't do it myself, which is probably why I forgot to tell you. But if you go back to Parshas Yisro, we have maybe three or four differences just in this phrase alone. Ish imo v'aviv tirau. Four words. And back in Parshas Yisro, if you have the Art Scroll Chumash on page 410, Kabed es avicha v'es imecha. In that case, we have honor your father and your mother. Hold on one second here. I'm just going to mute everyone. I'm not sure what's going on. Okay, that sounds better to me. No offense to anyone else. But when you want to speak, so just unmute yourself. Kabeidus avicha v'asimecha in the Ten Commandments, and then you have Ish imo v'aviv tiro in the beginning of Kedoshim. What's the big difference? Obviously, Batya.
Well, maybe because one would be more inclined to fear his father and honor his mother, and so they when it's coming to fear or, you know, respect, they list the mother first, because maybe your natural inclination would be, well, of course you're going to fear your father, the disciplinarian sort of aspect. So maybe that's why.
Okay. Did you come up with that by yourself?
Yes. I mean, maybe I've heard it somewhere, but I mean, I was just sort of sitting here and I thought, well, wait a minute.
You're subconsciously channeling the Gemara in Kedushin, which says exactly that.
The Gemara. I must have heard it somewhere, because I certainly did not learn that Gemara, but I'll mute myself.
With statements like that, I don't want you to mute. But Kabeidus Avich Vesimecha versus Ish Imo V'Aviv Tirel, you notice, as Batya implicitly mentioned there, that the order is different. When it comes to kibbutz, when it comes to honoring, so it says avicha and then imecha. It says your father and then your mother. But when it comes to fear, so it says imo v'aviv, first your mother and then your father. And the Gemara says, as Batya astutely subscribed to the same thinking, that when it comes to your mother, you're more inclined to honor her. Right, people have a certain sensitivity towards their mother. And this could be a biological thing, this could be a personality thing, however you want to slice it. A person has greater honor for their mother and greater fear for their father. And the Gemara in Kedusha says explicitly, just as Abacha did, that's why the Torah says, by fear, it says, make sure you fear your mother. Because while it's true, you naturally fear your father, and that's also a mitzvah, you also have to make sure to fear your mother too. And when it comes to honor, everybody's going to honor their mother because of the sensitivity they have towards her. But you also have to remember to honor your father. Now, there are more than just that difference. There's more than just that difference in these two psukim, right? First of all, one is passive and one is active, right? The first one in Yisro is Kabeidus Avicha. You should honor them actively. Go and do it. It's instructive. Ish imo v'aviv tira'u. It doesn't say, you know, tira es avicha v'yasimecha. It says tira'u. They shall be feared. How does it translate here in Art Scroll? Your mother and your father shall you revere. Okay. It's actually interesting. It could be translated in the active phrase, the active way also. Interesting. Okay. So that's one thing. Another difference is, so that's that, I guess that's the second thing. One is the order. Two is the passive versus active, possibly. Three is the word at the beginning of the pasuk. In the Ten Commandments, in the Aseret Dibros, it just says, "Kabed et avicha v'yesimecha." You shall honor your father and your mother. And then for some reason, maybe because of the passive language, it has to say it like this, but it says, "Ish," a person, or a man, right? In the art scroll, it says, "Every man, colon, your mother and your father shall you revere," right? Actually, it doesn't say. It's very interesting. The art scroll does not translate this very specific, very, very exactly. I don't know if people have the art scroll here. There's another difference I was about to mention, number four, fourth difference, which the art scroll completely outdoes. But let's get to that in a second. First, Ish imo aviv tiro, a person, his father and his mother and his father, he shall fear. It doesn't establish a person in Parshas Yisro. Another difference is because of that phrasing, because of that use of the word ish at the beginning of the pasuk, it's not talking in the second person anymore. You notice this? In the pasuk, in Yisro, it says, Kabed es avicha, kabed es imecha, your father, your mother. I'm speaking to you. Hashem is speaking directly to you. But over here, it doesn't say it in the second person, it says it in the third person. Ish imo v'aviv tirau. Ignoring art score for a second. A person, his mother and his father, he shall fear, they shall be feared. Right? So it's in the third person, it's not saying you shall do it, but rather it's saying that a person should do it. What's also interesting about this pasuk? It doesn't say anything about arichas yamim. It doesn't have the reward that honoring your parents comes with. It's kind of interesting. What does it have instead? Something which seems to be completely arbitrary. Something completely random. Right out of nowhere. Right? Apropos nothing. The pasuk says, and by the way, while we're talking about parents, let me tell you to keep Shabbos. What? While we're talking about parents, let me tell you to keep Shabbos. What does Shabbos have to do with this? Ish imov aviv tiro, v'yesh Shabbos hosai tishmoru, and yesh shem okechem. What in the world does that have to do with anything? Why is the fear of parents juxtaposed with the mitzvah of Shabbos? Anyone want to take a crack at that one?
Yeah. You can say that if you're one who will not fear your parents, then keeping Shabbos is not important to you.
We're talking about the personality trait of the person. That's interesting. Ish imo aviv tirau. If a person is willing to listen to his parents, so then all the more so they'll be listening. They'll keep Shabbos.
I said to not if you're a person who would not fear his parents, who would not find that's something necessary to do, then Shabbos wouldn't necessarily.
Okay, and why specifically Shabbos? Just cut. It's Shabbos is important. Maybe. So here's an idea to help you out, Adina. What other time do we know that Kibud Av Va'Em is connected to keeping Shabbos? When else have we seen? This is sort of like a trick question the way I'm asking it.
Kiddush?
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. It goes through the family members. I'm thinking much simpler. Something we talked about tonight. Yeah, the Aseret HaDibros. That's right. Right? Kibud Av Va'Em is number 5. And Zachor Shema Shabbos is number 4. Now it's the opposite order. But the juxtaposition is already there. So maybe one can make that claim. Maybe one could say that just like that is juxtaposed in order to bolster each other, we'd still have to figure out what the theme is. But at least it already establishes a juxtaposition. There's already a connection somehow in a literary sense about between Shabbos and Kibud Av Va'Em. So that's an interesting point. We can think about that a little bit more too. What's another interesting another interesting aspect to this is, first of all, not first of all, it is the difference between the word tira'u and kabed. Now, I've explained this as if they are one and the same thing or two sides of the same coin, and maybe they are. But what's the difference between honoring and fearing? What's the difference between honor and fear? Kabed es avich v'yasimecha versus ish imo v'aviv tira'u. And this is something we're going to have to talk about probably in more depth. But what's the difference between kabed and tira? What do we think?
Kabed is positive.
Mm-hmm.
And fear is almost a negative.
Good. If you think about kabed, what do you think about? You think about giving honor to somebody, doing something for them. When you think about fear, you think about not doing something to them, not insulting them, not degrading them, you know, fearing them to the extent that you'll listen to them. And as we know, there's an interesting similar distinction by what other mitzvah? By Shabbos too. Right? By Shabbos also has such a distinction. Zachor es yom ha-Shabbos l'kadsho. Remember Shabbos. Do something that actively promotes Shabbos in your consciousness. The Gemara tells us that Zachor is referring to making Kiddush on wine. Do Kiddush, right? Zachreihu al hayayin. You right? Actively remind yourself of Shabbos. And then there's not Zachor es yom ha-Shabbos, but Shamor es yom ha-Shabbos. Shamor means to guard. Guard yourself from doing certain things which you're not allowed to do. So there's another connection between Shabbos and Kibbud Av Va'Em, that both of them have this dual quality. There's the positive aspect of doing things for your parents, and then there's the negative aspect of refraining from doing things to your parents. Right? Both of them exist. And what's also interesting, what is the negative part of Shabbos? The negative part of Shabbos is the word shamor. What's the negative part of Kibbud Av Va'Em? Is tira. Look at this pasuk again. Ish imo v'aviv tira'u, v'yes Shabbos osai tishmoru. This pasuk exemplifies both negative aspects of each mitzvah. Right? The Kibbud Av Va'Em aspect is the tira, is the fear, right? The things you shouldn't do. And similarly by Shabbos, those are the things you shouldn't do. Tishmoru. Just like Shamor Yom HaShabbos and Zachor Yom HaShabbos L'kadsho are both two sides of the same coin for Shabbos. There's two sides of the same coin for Kibbud Av Va'Em also. There's a positive aspect and a negative aspect, and we'll have to define a little bit better as to how do you accomplish one and the other. Is it exclusive like Shabbos, right? We know by Shabbos it's exclusive. The Zachor is referring to the Aseis, the positive things, and Shamor is referring to the negative things of Shabbos. But the question is, are there active things that we can do for Shamor? Are there active things we can do for Tira, of fear? Or are there passive things we can do for Kabed? So this is kind of an interesting discussion in terms of how do you define things? That's really going to be a major aspect of our studying, which is how do you define Kibud? How do you find Yira in terms of this mitzvah? Are there active things that you do which could also fulfill that fear? Within that distinction, or within that categorization of Kibbud Av Va'Em and of Shabbos in terms of the negative, as we see in this pasuk in Kedoshim, so you actually find an interesting Ma'amar Chazal which explains this juxtaposition. Now, we pointed out the juxtaposition in terms of the Aseres HaDibros, right? That's already juxtaposed in that way, although, albeit in the opposite direction, there might be what to learn there. But there's another thing that the rabbis teach us, a very important thing the rabbis teach us in terms of what this juxtaposition is here for. If anyone has, yeah, Bacha, you unmuted?
Yes, I unmuted, but only because my Chumash has good notes. I wouldn't have
okay.
done this.
Yeah.
They're juxtaposing keep my Sabbaths even if a parent tells you to violate it. Or this applies to other mitzvot too, but that's why they, yes, you have to, you know, respect your parents, but the
right.
limits.
Good. Meaning?
I didn't come up with that.
That one you know you got from the Chumash.
Oh, yes, right here. Black and white. So.
Yeah. So, Ishima Vaviv Tirau, You have an obligation to fear your parents. If they tell you to do something, you better listen. But at the same time, keep Shabbos. V'yes Shabbos osai tishmo, they go hand in hand as if to say that your parents don't trump Shabbos. If your parents tell you to turn a light on Shabbos, so you're not supposed to do that. You do not listen to your parents. Here is an interesting question, and this is going to take us way back. It's going to take us back to Shabbos Aveda a little bit. Why do I need this pasuk? Why do I need that juxtaposition? What would I have thought? What would I have thought if I didn't have that concept? That I should violate Shabbos? Why would I ever think that I would be able to violate Shabbos just because my parent told me? One thing is told from Hashem, right? Hashem says keep Shabbos. And one thing's told from my parent. Why would I listen to my parent instead of listening to Hashem? Why would I ever think that it's okay to violate Shabbos? Does anyone have any possible logic to that? Why would I need this juxtaposition? What would I have thought otherwise? I'm going to put our thinking caps on for that one. Why would I listen to my parents instead of listening to Hashem? Let's say my parents ask me to turn on the light on Shabbos. So what is my calculus? What's my calculus? Here's an interesting question also. A few weeks' time, in the end of Parshas told us what we're going to learn. We're going to learn that Yaakov Avinu is tasked with a difficult calculation himself. On the one hand, his mother, right, Rivka, is telling him to go trick his father. On the other hand, he's got to respect his father. So what's his calculus? Similar to the water question. Which one is more important? Listening to my mother or listening to my father? There's an interesting debate. We'll have to get to that when we get to that. In the Parsha, maybe we'll take a little bit of a tangent to figure that one out, to crack that riddle. But what about this? What's the calculus? If my father or my mother tells me, turn on the light on Shabbos, what am I thinking in my head? How do I decide what to do? Batya.
Oh, I'm muted. I'm accidentally unmuted. I don't have an answer.
You ever know, like, you know, when...
when you realize, though, even if you're just looking at the Aseres HaDibros, I mean, Hashem, that's the main thing. That's more important than your parents because they only come number five. So your calculus should be, yeah, respect your parents. But what Hashem says, it's got to be more important.
Okay, so then I don't need this pasuk then. Right?
I'll
do you have your whiteout? just cover it up. We don't need it anymore. Meaning there has to be some reason why we need Hashem to tell us this. What's the purpose of this juxtaposition? So if your parent asks you to violate Shabbos, what are you dealing with? You're dealing with a violation of Shabbos, and that's going up against a fulfillment of another mitzvah. Wait a second. What do we do when we have the fulfillment of a positive mitzvah versus the transgression of a negative mitzvah? What's the rule in that case? Let's say there's something which is a lost item inside of a cemetery. And you're a Kohen, and you're not allowed to go into a cemetery. No, not ringing any bells.
Trump's negative, basically.
Right? Mitzvahs aseh docheh lo saseh. Right? A positive mitzvah will push away a negative mitzvah. Right? We talked about this by the lost item in the cemetery. If the Kohen has to go get the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, so the Gemara entertains, in the end of the day, we talked about why it's not a good idea, but or why it's not a good calculation, but the Gemara entertains the possibility of, or at least the Mefarshim entertain, the possibility of mitzvahs asi docha lo saseh, that a positive mitzvah of fulfilling, returning a lost item, will push away the transgression of the negative mitzvah of becoming impure in the cemetery. So too here. Your parent asks you to turn on the light. So at the same time that you turn on the light, you're doing two things. On the one hand, you'll fulfill a mitzvah's aseh daraisa, a positive commandment, and you'll also transgress a negative commandment. And as we know, in that kind of calculus, the aseh always beats the los aseh. The fulfillment of the positive mitzvah beats the transgression of a negative mitzvah. And therefore, if Hashem didn't tell us this juxtaposition, we would have thought that I can listen to my parrot to violate whatever I want, because I'll be doing so in a way that will push away whatever negative commandment it is. Comes Hashem and says, no, ish imo v'aviv tiro, but at the same time as Shabbos Osai Tishmor, this juxtaposition teaches us that you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't say such a calculation. You could have, but now I told you don't do it. Right? Hashem specifically tells us this in order to outdo that logic. So that's pasuk number two about Kibud Av V'Em. Here's a good trivia question. What's pasuk number three about Kibud Av V'Em? This one is easy, but it's hard to think of. It's a weird way to say it. It's an easy one, but it's hard to think of. I'll tell you, it's in Parshas Va'eschanan. What happens in Parshas Va'eschanan that Kibud Av V'Em would be there again? And remember, what happens in Va'eschanan? We have another rendition of the Ten Commandments. And for this one, you'll notice something that we've talked about before, maybe. I don't know if we talked about it in this class. We might have talked about it in a different class. If you have the Art Scroll, page 970, if you look at the fifth commandment in Parshas Va'eschanan, so you'll find a similar word to start off the commandment, Kabed es avicha v'es imecha. But then you'll notice something interesting. Kabed es avicha v'es imecha, ka'asher tzivcha Hashem lokecha. Just like Hashem commanded you. Right? In Parshas Yisro, it doesn't say that. In Parshas Yisro, it just says, Kabed es avicha v'es imecha. Because in Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu is repeating it. Presumably. Right? Presumably Moshe Rabbeinu is repeating it, and therefore he says, just like Hashem commanded you. Way back when in Yisrael, right? And then what he said, Laman Yarichun Yamecha, just like Hashem said, Laman Yarichun Yamecha. Except he adds one phrase, Laman Yitav Lach. Not only will you get a length of days, you will also get good stuff. Laman Yitav Lach. It'll be good for you. Right? Where else do we see this coming up? Well, I guess it's not really explicit in the pasuk. But next week's parsha, Lech Lecha. Rashi says this. Maybe I'm getting confused with Meraglim. Lech Lecha. Rashi says, what does it mean, Lecha, to you? Lech Lecha, to you. If I can find it. Rashi says, Lahana'ascha ulatovascha. It's for your own good. So to hear, you have a long life and it will be good for you. Okay, so now we have another reward, another peculiarity about this mitzvah, right? This was the first thing Adina pointed out that's peculiar about this mitzvah is that it gives us a reward. We usually don't need a reward, right? Hashem said so, that's why we do it. Na'aseh v'nishma, we don't need a reward. We don't need a reason to do something. Hashem said so, we're going to do it. But here, not only do we have the same reward as the first time of the lengthening of our days, but also, it'll be good. Now, if you remember, we talked about Laman Yitav Lach. I forgot when. It might have been a Tuesday afternoon class. What does it mean to have that something which is good? It means that you have something which is working against you. We probably talked about, or at least I like to talk about in this context, I talk about, lo tov hayos adam levado. It's not good for man to be alone. What does it mean? It's not good. Just say it's bad. It's not good because you don't have anything which is good until you have something working against you, right? You're only considered to do something good when it could have been bad, right? If it's just what you do, so then it's just what you do. And this, the second time around of the Ten Commandments, is specifically after the Egel Azav, when the Jewish people expressed the fact that they could sin, expressed the fact that they could do terrible things, and therefore you have the institution of the word Yitav Lach, as opposed to how the Gemara Baba Kama Nandalad says it, but doesn't explain it very well, or at least very explicitly. So we talked about that before, but again, we're gonna have to figure out what does Laman Yitav Lach mean in the context of Kibud Av V'Em. And again, another interesting thing to point out, which is a difference between source number 2 that we looked at, right, Vayikra Yotas in the beginning of Kedoshim, and sources number 1 and 3, which is, you know, the Aseres Adibros. The reward is only given in the context of Kibud Av V'Em, right? We talked about it. There are two sides of this coin. There's the side which is kibud, honor, and then the side which is tira, which is fear. Right? When do we get the reward? We get the reward for kibud av v'aim, when we honor our parents, respect our parents. But we don't get any reward for fearing our parents. There's an interesting, unique, you know, exclusionary aspect to kibud av v'aim, that it's only the kibud that begets the lengthening of days and the goodness that will come. Again, we have the end of the pasuk, Al Hadama Asher Hashem Lekach Nosen Lach, on the land that Hashem gives to you. So the same thing in both places. Nosen Lach, an interesting word. Hashem is giving to you in the present tense, even though they haven't yet gotten to Eretz Yisrael. So these are a few, these are the three psukim, the three main psukim about about Kibud Av V'Em. There are other instances, however, of parents in the Chumash, meaning actual mitzvahs towards a parent in a Chumash. Let me see any other explicit ones besides the one I'm thinking of. I'm trying to look through a sefer here that goes through a lot of the aspects of Kibud Av V'Em. I don't think so. Let's turn to Devarim. We're already in Devarim because we're in Vayis Chanan. Devarim Chaf Zayin Tes Zayin. You might recognize these psukim. They're always very uniquely formatted in the Torah. Chaf Zayin Tes Zayin. These are the Arurim. The Arurim in Parshas Ki Savo. There's a reason I'm pointing this out, which you'll see in a second. Where is it? Tezayin. Right? Aror ha'ish she'yasa pesam asecha. Right? Again, don't make idols. And then you have Tezayin. Pasuk Tezayin 16 is on page 1074 for those with an art scroll. Aror makle aviv v'imo. Cursed is he who makle. Makle is an interesting word. So makle could be you might be thinking of malkut, which is mem lamed kuf, and this is mem kuf lamed. A makel, however, could also be like a stick of some kind, so maybe that's what you mean to strike. But makle here, Rashi says, mizalzel. It's some kind of degrading, like the word, I think, maybe, like kal. Kal is easy, right? To degrade, to lessen the importance of, or lessen the severity of. So here it's saying, Aror makle aviv v'imo. Cursed is he or she that that degrades their father or mother. What's interesting about that one? It says aviv before imo. Presumably makle is one of those things that would fall under fear. And nonetheless, here it says father before mother. So that's an interesting distinction that maybe we have to look into. But regardless of that, you also have to think about why this is any different. What is this adding to the mitzvah? Right? Why is this needed? Would this concept of degrading your parent, would it not already fall under the category of fearing your father or mother? Why would degrading them be an added mitzvah? Why do we need that mitzvah on top of the mitzvah of already disrespecting or fearing them? So this is some of the stuff that we'll have to figure out, and some of it is, some of it comes down to how to define the terms kibud and mora, right? The terms of respect and fear. So this is sort of just starting to unpack to unravel some of these psukim and the context that they're in order to figure out what it is we're going to have to think about. Number one priority, as Marsha already told us, is trying to figure out whether this is actually a mitzvah, which is between man and man, or is it a mitzvah between man and God? If I were to ask you, how do you classify Kibud Av V'Em? So presumably you would say, well, it's between one person and another person, so then it's Bein Adam L'Chavero. It's between man and man. But clearly, and maybe not clearly, but as Marsha pointed out, if one were to try to make the claim that Kibud Av V'Em goes on the fifth, on the in the first five of the Aseres Dibros, which are between man and God, so then how can you understand the mitzvah in any way other than being between man and man? So next week, Emir Hashem, we will begin our journey, our swim through the Yam HaTalmud to figure out what exactly is the categorization. Before we start defining our terms, how do we categorize this mitzvah? Is it a mitzvah which is between us and man? Man and man, person and person, or is it a mitzvah which is between man and God? Is it like Shabbos, or is it like stealing? Right? Which? How do we define this this mitzvah? And Emir Hashem, once we categorize it properly, we'll be able to start defining it even better with that context, with that knowledge. Okay, so there's a little bit of a taste of the types of questions we're going to have to deal with, the types of psukim and context we're going to have to try to discern and figure out. And some of those questions are going to be explicitly answered, and some of them are going to be implicitly answered. Hopefully, most of them will be answered. But if they're not, always feel free to bring them up, and we can hopefully address them explicitly too. Okay, good to be back. Wednesday, 7 o'clock. From now until who knows when, we'll meet here. I don't know if I'll be here. I kind of like it in my office, but we don't get those Usher appearances like we do in my basement, so we'll see.
I was going to say, I miss Usher. Where's Usher?
Yeah, we miss him.
Yeah.
We miss him waving.
Yeah.